Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sometimes I wonder why I'm a Christian because I'm so rebellious and there's a lot of oughts and shoulds and you've got to in the Bible. And one of the most serious oughts and shoulds and you have to is that notion that you must love one another. And if you don't, it says you don't know God. You're not with God if you don't love. Now, this was very hard for me because I was told that that meant you had to be nice. Sometimes I'm not nice. Does that mean I don't know God? I learned over the years that different churches had different interpretations. I had the misfortune of being raised in the 60s and 70s when love could be interpreted in that awful song of the church, "Please forgive me when I say this. We'll know we are Christians by our love." And everybody would join hands and sing that, and they'd have a kumbaya moment, and everyone would say, "We love each other." And all I could say was baloney. I'm so glad that the people of Bible times had the same problems. If they didn't have a problem with this notion of love, we'd never have these words. Jesus said it very plainly to his disciples, "They will know you are Christians if you have love for one another. If you love each other, then they'll know you're my disciples." Paul said it in 1 Corinthians, "If we don't have love, we're like a clanging brass and clinging cymbal. We just have nothing." And then 1 John, the writer of John, says it the same way. You have to love each other. So what does love mean? And I think the best example of what it means to love is found in these words from 1 John. He says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." In other words, love means actively seeking the welfare of another. That's what God did. He actively sought our welfare. He didn't wait until we said we love God so much, but God sought our welfare and sent his Son. That's the definition of love. If you want to be a loving people, if you want to obey what God says, it's not what we say. It's what we do. Love in a church is not walking lockstep with each other in our doctrine. Love is not agreeing with each other politically. Love is action, seeking the welfare of another. We call this day August 13th. This is the festival of August 13th, and this is what we call the renewal of the Moravian Church. And oftentimes when we talk about this day, we look back wistfully on what happened on August 13th. And I'll tell you what happened, but that's not where the answer to love lies. The Moravian Church was a persecuted church. And it was formed in the Czech Republic. And in the 1700s, a nobleman from Germany, a Lutheran man named Count Zinzendorf, invited these persecuted Moravians to come to his estate and to establish a town and be able to live in freedom and in fellowship with each other. And so they did. These were people who were very devout. They loved God with all their heart. And they had sacrificed so much. And they came to this estate and established a town called Herrnhut, which means the Lord's Watch. And their whole hope was to live together in community and love and serve God. But people who are passionate, People who are strong in their faith can also have strong disagreements. And they began to disagree with each other on theology, on interpretation of Scripture, on how to live a Christian life. And things got pretty ugly pretty quickly. Because it's okay to disagree, but what they felt was, if you disagreed with me, then there was something wrong with you. We don't have anything like that today, do we? Sometimes I have to stop reading in social media because there'll be an article up and some people will give their opinions, and when others give their opinions, they have to tell the other group that they were stupid and ignorant. And this is what was happening. And Zinzendorf, who could have kicked all these Moravians off his land, said instead in May of 1727, we've got to do things better. So he asked the people to form an agreement with them, and it was called the Brotherly Agreement, and it was a covenant on how we were to live together. Now, in the, probably the 90s, the Moravian Church wanted to be politically correct, and so the Brotherly Agreement became the Moravian Covenant for Christian Living, but it's the same thing. And they signed this voluntarily and decided that they were going to make nice with each other. And then they prayed together about this, and they prayed every day that God would solve this problem and these divisions. And they started to work together. Many of them just didn't feel it, but they did it anyway. And then on August 13th, 1727, as they were in a communion worship service, all of a sudden they said that the Spirit of God fell on them. And the way it fell was that all the divisions were taken down. And they truly loved each other. And they said they were baptized in love. And that's a wonderful experience. And oftentimes we wish that we'd have those kinds of mountaintop experiences. But it was what happened later that authenticated that experience. Because we can say we love each other. We can hug and kiss each other. But it's what happens when we actively look toward the welfare of another. And that group took seriously what God had said about loving each other. And so Herrnhut became a model of commerce. And people from all over saw this model that the Herrnhuts had, that there was no one of great wealth in that group, and there was no one of great poverty, because they looked out for the needs of each other. They duplicated that model wherever they went. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania was a model of commerce based on the Herrnhut model. Winston-Salem, North Carolina had the same model. And 100 years later, when the Moravians came to Ephraim, it was the same model. If you read the history, they looked out for each other. Everyone looked out for the welfare of the other. That is love. They not only did that, but they also looked out for the welfare of people they didn't know halfway around the globe, people that were oppressed. And so the young Moravians in the 1700s began to send missionaries out to the Native Americans here in the United States, to the people enslaved in the Caribbean. The Moravian Church is mostly non-white, and the largest Moravian churches are not here in the United States, they're in Tanzania. Because love meant looking out for the welfare of another, even those that were not our same culture. And love meant looking for the out for the welfare of other denominations. So the Moravians formed societies and churches within churches in other denominations, not to pull them out and make them good Moravians, but to help them to find their way back to an exciting love for Jesus. And it was in one of those societies that Wesley came to know the Moravians and formed the Methodist Church. That is love. Actively seeking the welfare of another. In my last church, when I came, I was in my 30s, and there was a gentleman who was on the board, and he was in his 50s, and we were light years apart in philosophy, in way to do business. He came from Mecca. He came from home church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and I had come recently from the Pentecostal tradition. Very different in the way we approached anything. And our board meetings were quite interesting because we'd get our boxing gloves on and we'd spar, this man and I. And sometimes he would win the argument and sometimes I would, but both of us came out bruised and bloody at the end. And I thought, good, I love those kind of meetings. He always was in church. He supported everything. But boy, we'd go round and round, and sometimes we'd have our fingers in each other's faces. And one time, I got really sick. I had a terrible flu, and I was down with that. My husband was away, and John called. And he called, and he wasn't feeling well either. And he said, "What do you need?" I said, "I need tissues, and I need something for my head. It's killing me." Within an hour, there were tissues and some medicine at my door. And I said, "How could you do this? You were sick yourself." He said, "Oh, it's a guy thing." I thought, "No, it's not. It's a love thing." He was looking out for my best interests, even though we fought night and day. That's what love is. After I left that church, I hadn't heard from him in a while, and then I got a phone call out of the blue when I was in Little Rock, Arkansas, tending my brother who had been in an accident. And he called because he had found that out. He said, "You know, we're praying for you and your brother night and day." That's love. God doesn't tell us that we have to like everybody, but we must love them. And so I challenge you this day to find the person who aggravates the life out of you. Find the person in your family that you don't know how you're going to deal with, and find a way to love them this week. You don't have to smile. You don't have to agree. Loving the way God loves means I will actively seek. You don't have to do it alone. As we come to know God, as we are filled with His Spirit, then God makes it simple for us because we start to see people through God's eyes. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that you would baptize us with that type of love. And even when we're not feeling it, may we demonstrate it in everything we do. For Jesus' sake, amen.